Hey, Real Ghost Stories Online family. It's Sunday, and we're going to start doing something interesting over here at Real Ghost Stories Online, calling it True Crime Sunday, where we'll play one of three brand new episodes of our other podcast, Dark Side Of. It's a true crime podcast. So if you love those dark stories and following true crime, you need to subscribe to Dark Side Of. Myself, Carol Hughes, and Stacey Cole, all hosted every single week with new episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Search Dark Side Of wherever you download podcasts. But right now, enjoy one of three brand new episodes of Dark Side Of from this week. Today on the Dark Side Of, an ex-sheriff's deputy accused of crashing weddings and stealing card boxes with at least $3,000 each. Also, a pervert undertaker invited a man to have sex with corpse after saying that they were fit. And a man accused of fatally shooting ex and dumping body in a remote Utah desert with his fiancé's help. Always better in groups. The stories and more today on the Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the show. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening? I looked at my microphone wrong and it went, I don't feel like working.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Did it literally say that out loud? I can hear you. Yes. Yes, I can hear you very well.
Well, good deal. Other than that, everything is good.
Good, good. I have a bunch of very angry amphibians in my backyard right now.
Oh, is very there anything angry. Worse than that?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you gotta keep the amphibians at bay because they can come up and revolt. And that's the last thing you want is a bunch of...
How do you know they're angry?
Well, here's the deal. I have a pool that's being put in. And it's not filled with, you know, healthy swimmable water yet, but the pit is there and it's concreted in. We got to plaster it. But we had torrential rains last week that halfway filled the pool. And it was kind of neat for a day. It was kind of muddyish water, but you could put your feet in it. No big deal. And then like day one, it was like, oh, I bet it sounds like there's a froggy in there. And then we're out there looking for the frog and, you know, he's ribbiting and doing his frog stuff. And then the next day, it's like, oh, there's a couple frogs in there. And they're, you know, ribbiting, doing their frog stuff. And by two nights ago, it's like, oh, my God, there's a frog orgy going on in there. And it's frogs really going at it all night. And it was creepy. It was weird. And I swear to God, at some point in the evening, let me get this up here. And so I can really... you know, really kind of paint the picture of what was going on in my backyard pool. I go out there and I hear the frogs and there. I can't make the noises of frogs doing it, but I swear to God, in a very small speaker, I think one of them brought it down there. I could hear
telling me no.
I could hear this playing in the background amongst a bunch of. And they were like, it was fucking weird.
I'm telling you, you've basically put a pop-up club in your backyard.
I did. And I was like, like
word spread. And they're like, oh my God, there's like the best club. This club has everything. It has mud. It has sunshine. I mean, you know, they're just, word is out that this is the hot spot.
It was really bizarre. Arkansas. And I thought, you know, well, you know, they seem to be enjoying themselves. So I went and I got, a strobe light and I just shot it into the pool for a while. And some of those colored lights kind of set the mood. And I think they enjoyed it. But then here's why they're angry, because they were so enjoying their frog orgy that we had to get the pool drained because it was starting to get green and swampy. And there was frog semen everywhere. And And there was like these little tiny condoms I was finding on the side of the pool. It was really fucking weird.
Yeah, that's the thing about those party scenes is it's just a mess to clean up.
I mean, I'm happy
for you, man.
I'm happy they were being safe. That's responsible frogs. But it was getting to be a mess. And I really didn't want to operate a frog swingers club in my backyard. So they drained the pool and now the frogs had to hop out and go elsewhere. But you can tell. You can tell they're angry. I'm hearing angry ribbits now late in the evening.
Oh, yeah. You know, they might just be a mile away, but, you know, they're kicking back with a drink going, damn that Tony.
They're not happy with me. They are not happy.
Yeah, we had
me.
It good for a long time, and then he pulled this shit.
Yep, I know. It's there you go. That's what's going on in my world right now. The frog orgy. I had to make him stop. But
shut it down, man. Shut it down.
Got to take charge at some point there. But so I hope they go find other places to fornicate. Let's go to our first story of the day. An ex-sheriff's deputy accused of crashing weddings, stealing card boxes worth at least $3,000 each. Have you ever crashed a wedding?
No, I've thought about it. Mm-hmm. I was at another wedding.
Yeah.
And it looked like the one across the hall was much better.
Yeah.
I mean, their food smelled better.
They had an open bar.
The music was better. The decorations were better. But I thought about it, you know, when you leave to go to the restroom and I can go left or I can go right.
Mm-hmm.
And the wedding I was invited to is to the right, but you start to kind of just peek in the doorway like, I think I might like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up going right because you don't want to be that person. So no, I haven't, but man, did I think about it once.
I did one time and it was weird. It was actually in Wausau. It was there. It was at the Wausau Club, which is a little building downtown where a lot of like kind of nicer events take place. And it's like an old like mansion type looking building.
Yeah.
Is it still there? I think it is, isn't it?
It is. And it's haunted. You knew that, right?
I don't think so. I've only been in there the one time when I crashed the wedding.
Yeah, it's still here, but I don't think it's being used. I think it shut down and somebody was going to do something with it once. And then they went, don't think we can afford it or something of that nature. So it's just sitting vacant as far as I know.
When I was up there in around Thanksgiving, I walked by it because I stayed down there and it looked pretty empty. And I was like, maybe it's, I don't know, closed for the sea. I don't know. COVID. I don't know. But anyway, I was downtown. It was with a former boss of ours. And he was a guy who was just crazy. He would do all sorts of crazy, and he was funny. He was one of the funniest bosses I ever had. It was Denny. We were drinking at another restaurant and then walking back to our cars, and we see there's this wedding going on at the Wausau Club. It's like across the street. And we look at each other and we're like, should we? So we did.
Oh, no.
We go in and he's like, just act like you know the couple. And he was great at bullshitting. And we'd walk in and people were like, oh, hey, like pretending they knew us and they didn't. And we pretended we knew them too, like you do at a wedding. And so we got down to the bar, which is in the basement. We're just, you know, we're talking and we start to run into people that we know. Like just because it's not a big town. And it's like, oh, hey, like, oh, hey, how do you know them? Like, oh, you know, we're like distant cousins of the bride. We don't know who the bride and groom even is.
Oh, my God. Well, the good news about that is they wear a particular outfit so you can kind of figure out who they are.
But we couldn't find them.
Awkward.
I didn't even see them the whole time we were there. So we sat there and we had some free drinks. And then as we left, we were walking down the stairwell and Denny, there's like, you know, big flower bouquets everywhere. He grabs a large bouquet of flowers off of the one of the stands. It wasn't like bride's flowers there. I think it was just for the building. And he takes them and we walk out and I go back up and he's pretty drunk. And I go up to my apartment, which is pretty much right down there. And he goes off to another bar down the road, one of his regular haunts. And I just go up to my place and I'm sitting there and I'm looking out the window. And about an hour later at about 1 a.m, I see him walking down the road carrying the flowers. He brought them into another bar, and then he's carrying the flowers down the road, just being the funny asshole that he can be. And I say that affectionately. I got along great with him. But he's always just like fucking with people. And he's like singing some sort of like show tune walking down the road at 2 a.m. carrying the flowers going back to his car.
Oh my God. That's an epic story. That sounds like something that Hollywood could have grabbed onto.
It was great. I mean, I would have loved to have crashed more weddings with him because it was fun. It was just a fun night. And nobody ever caught on or anything. I mean, it's like, I never realized how easy it was to crash a wedding. And this was before like the movie Wedding Crashers and all that stuff. But it was like, shit, like this isn't that hard to do.
Well, no, I mean, think about it. You have a location and a time and you just walk in. There's nobody saying, do you have a ticket?
Yeah.
You know, show your invitation, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and after this story, this guy, you know, coming in and stealing stuff. And I've heard that, you know, you have to have like the card box in a secure place, like not by the door, but way in by the DJ or the band so that, you know, you can't just walk off with it. But it makes me wonder if there needs to be more security at weddings that, you know, you send an invitation and you have a security guard at the door, you know, that just they're looking for your invitation. You get some sort of a QR code.
Yeah.
You know, and that's your entrance in. And then you get like a wristband or something.
I agree. I think the other solution would be, quite honestly, don't invite so many damn people to your wedding.
That you can't tell what the fuck's going on.
Where it would stand out if somebody is there that shouldn't be there. Because there's so many weddings where it's like 300, 400 people. And you don't know most of them. I mean, half the time the wedding... And Wisconsin weddings are interesting because they really... I know other places are like this too, but Wisconsin's a unique thing for families and weddings. They go way deep into families. The parents invite like second and third cousins half the time. You don't know who the fuck these people are and their kids and their family. And it's like, who are all these human beings here? And then you can't tell if somebody shouldn't be there because you don't even know who half the people are. So it makes it easier for that to happen. But, you know, there are big weddings all over the place, but that's like the norm there. Anyway, this is in Arizona. A former Arizona sheriff's deputy has been arrested, accused of... This is the funny part. It's a sheriff's deputy or former sheriff's deputy. Yeah,
that's even the worst part.
So he probably knows the drill. Accused of crashing weddings and dashing out with card boxes holding thousands of dollars. Police say Landon Earl Rankin, 54, may be behind nearly a dozen wedding card box thefts in the East Valley. Rankin was arrested Wednesday and booked into Maricopa County Jail on two counts of third-degree burglary, stemming from two April incidents. The Chandler Police Department said in a news release he was also hit with several drug charges after he was found in possession of meth and fentanyl during his arrest. Shocking. Rankin first appeared on Chandler's police radar after attending a wedding reception dressed as a guest on April 15th. While there, he stole a card box containing an estimated $3,000 to $6,000, authorities said. He targeted another reception on April 30th, making off with a card box containing the same estimated value, $3,000 to $6,000, Chandler police said. Investigators later learned of a similar wedding card box theft in nearby Pinal County, where Rankin previously was employed as a deputy with the Pinal County Sheriff's Office from 1994 until his retirement in 2015. He remained a reserve officer until 2017. In the Pinal County case, Rankin was arrested and charged, according to authorities. Chandler police released surveillance footage showing Rankin in his wedding outfit of a button-down shirt and khaki pants holding what appeared to be wedding card boxes covered in a plastic bag. The department learned...
That is totally a wedding outfit.
Completely.
Isn't it?
Completely. You could... I mean, this could be like a weekend thing if you really need it. It's horrible. But I'm surprised more of this doesn't happen. The department learned that Rankin may have been crashing weddings and stealing from them in several towns as he was considered a suspect in similar investigations in Mesa and Gilbert, the news release stated. After Rankin's arrest, police connected him to 11 incidents of wedding card box thefts in the East Valley. Chandler police continue to investigate and contact victims in the cases. The release said lawyer information for Rankin has not immediately been made available. He remains in jail without bond, the Associated Press reported. So his failing here is that he's doing it like where he lives. So he's like kind of shitting where he lives.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to get caught at that one.
Well, I don't understand. That's not there's not a lot of money in there. You know, yeah, okay, people give gifts and I get, you know, it's kind of like robbing an ATM, but you're not guaranteed a ton of money.
He's got to kind of, I think you got to profile the wedding a little bit and kind of take a look at the cars that are out front and figure out who's at this wedding. That, I think, is going to be a very good tell as to how much would be in said card box at the wedding. Now, I would never do this. I've never done this, but this doesn't seem like rocket science to figure out.
No, it doesn't. And I'm just, you know, you're going to end up with like Target gift cards. It's not a good hit. You know, I understand you're looking for money, but this guy, he is in possession of meth and fentanyl. Mm-hmm. He's looking for cash. He is looking for hardcore cash.
Not bath and body carts.
No.
Comes in every week. I got $700 worth of body wash. Look at this. It's just the high of getting all the body wash from Bath and Body Works. That's
You know, you go stumbling into that store going, can I just get cash for this?
You're back again. It's still three. I don't want the discount. Don't even give me the discount. Just let me buy it at regular price. Sir, you're going to get the. No, I need to use these cards. Be great. It's interesting. I mean, I run weird scenarios through my mind. Like, what if, like, I was completely poor? I mean, my real answer would be go figure out how to get a job and do something that's a reasonable living. But I guess if I didn't possess that skill, I guess, like, that wouldn't be... It doesn't seem like that difficult of a way to make a living, just kind of drift from town to town, crash a new wedding every weekend. And that would be enough to get by, I would think. I mean, it's horrible.
You've got your dinner covered.
Yeah.
And if think about this, if you, let's just say you're drifting from town to town and you go to these weddings at, say, hotels, you know, get friendly with somebody there, then you got a place to stay overnight. You've got food and, you know, with the card box, you know, little spending cash.
That would be like a very, very interesting documentary for someone to make, like crashing weddings. And yeah, I mean, you'd be admitting to crimes, but it would be very interesting to watch. Just like
the real wedding crashers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a horrible thing to do. You're preying upon a couple, you know, you're affecting their very first week of marriage.
Yeah.
You know, you are directly impacting what should be a really happy time for them.
Everybody's like, I told you we shouldn't have gotten married. This is a horrible idea.
No shit. I mean, if they had any doubts, it'd be like, oh, okay, that's a sign.
Exactly. That's a sign. God. Well, there you go. Here's another fine gentleman, a pervert undertaker. Invited, he didn't do it. Well, maybe he did someplace, but he invited a man to have sex with a corpse after saying they were fit, quote unquote. I love that he's wearing a bow tie in this picture too, because it makes him look that much less creepy.
Well, and he looks like a creepy undertaker.
He's like wearing the gaming headset and everything and a bow tie. And yeah, so. Nigel Robinson Wright was arrested at his home in Blackpool before he was due to meet with a pedophile offering up a toddler to be raped. Oh my God. When police lifted the lid on Robinson Wright's sinister sexual world, they discovered gruesome pictures of him posing next to open coffins and naked corpses, which he found fit. Preston Crown Court was told the 42-year-old befriended pedophiles, animal abusers, and necrophiles online. Is there like groups for this on Facebook?
Yeah. There are.
What?
And God help us. Yeah.
On Facebook? I can't imagine Facebook would allow that, although Facebook, you'd be surprised what they allow. Using encrypted military grade chat. Okay, this is how they do it. Using encrypted military grade chat rooms and encourage the most depraved sexual acts. After Metropolitan Police arrested his pedophile friend in London in September of 2021, online chats led them to the funeral director. Kim Whittlestone, prosecuting, told the court in Lancashire police seized a number of digital devices and examined some at the scene. He said he was in possession of indecent images, and there was evidence of him distributing the images. extreme pornography was discovered involving torture and sexual abuse of children and animals. The defendant had been in contact with others via social media and had been organizing the commission of sexual offenses against children, dogs, and dead bodies. So even for the trifecta here of being a horrible human being. One man who seemed to be familiar with Robinson Wright shared sexual fantasies about the clients at the Peterson Funeral Home, where the defendant worked. There was a strong theme of necrophilia where it was openly discussed between the parties, Miss Whittlestone stressed. The two discussed sexual activity in the funeral home, saying it was horny when we fucked him by the lectern. Oh, my God. Mm. Robinson Wright was fascinated with Jamie Bulger and killed Fred West, talked about being high on poppers and meth and offered to supply drugs to them. It was also revealed he was in contact with a pedophile arranging to meet up to sexually abuse a child. However, police intercepted the chat. The defendant gave no comment when he was interviewed by police and told a probation officer that much of what was discussed was fantasy. Later, he pled guilty to arranging the commission of a child sexual offense, 3 counts of making indecent images, 8 counts of distributing indecent images, possessing a prohibited image of a child, amongst other offenses. Tom Lord, defending, asked for 16 other offenses to be taken into consideration and said his client's guilty plea was his best mitigation. Judge Graham Knowles, QC, sentencing said, "These taken together are abhorrent offenses. Nigel William Robinson Wright, you cast off your own humanity and you made a choice to relentlessly pursue cruelty, degradation, and depravity. You gloried in it. Your targets were all powerless babies, infants, children, and dead animals. Some of what you did was to look at images. Some of what you did was to gloat over those images with other like-minded perverts. Rather than cherish and protect and respect children, the dead animals, and others, as others do time and time again, you reveled in iniquity." Robinson Wright was only sentenced to 17 years in prison with an 8-year extended license period at Princeton Town Court on Friday. You only get 17 years for that in good old England. Although it's probably the same here in the U.S. too, because we like to lock up people who fuck dead corpses and children for less than drug offenses. So
yeah,
that it makes a lot of sense.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's just gross, disgusting, weird, twisted, and just, you know, this judge really summed it up by you know, describing him that way. I don't understand it. I'm just going to leave it right there. I don't.
I'm hoping that the prison system over there is as brutal as ours is here, and he doesn't ever see year number 2 of the sentence. He's just taken out.
You know, it's one thing to have done things to dead bodies. I guess, you know, if what you're preying upon is already gone from this earth, I don't feel so threatened by you. And I'm grossed out, but you know, at least you're not harming live people.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy took a turn. He took a left turn, and you know, the babies, the infants, children, and animals, and you know, potential rape of a child.
Mm-hmm.
He's disgusting and gross and needs to go away. And I'm hoping you're right that the prison system over there will take care of it.
I hope to God that that's what happens, because if you're doing this, you're not going to change. There is no come to Jesus. No. There's no, I had a revelation. I saw the light. I realized the errors in my ways of fucking babies and corpses and dogs. No. If you ever saw that to be a right choice, you should just put the gun in your mouth and pull the trigger. If this is like what you're feeling is the right thing to do, do the world a favor and end it. But unfortunately, he just gets 17 years. But my God, Utah man.
When they sentenced him, they kind of went wink 17 years. We know how this is going to end.
I wonder. I imagine there's maximums on certain things. And that's probably like what they did was like, well, legally, this is the maximum. I'd love to fucking shoot you right now, but I can't do that. I'd go to jail. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And it's another thing where you put yourself in the shoes of like What if you were like the person that, you know, I mean, especially if we're talking about the living human beings whom he affected, I would kill him myself. But I think even if it was the corpse of someone that I loved, I'd still probably kill him myself. I would probably be so outraged. I would be like, fuck it. I'm like, I'm good. Like, I've lived a good life now, and they'll probably let me off on this one after so many years. So we're fucking killing this guy so he doesn't ruin anybody else's life.
Yeah, and you can understand, you know, if somebody is doing this to your, you know, your dead grandfather.
Yeah.
I mean, you can understand that anger. Absolutely. But like I said, I guess, you know, they're not here anymore. They didn't suffer when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I can kind of look the other way. I mean, not that it's acceptable. My God, no.
Yeah.
But I'm not as appalled by some of these horrible stories we talk about with like dead bodies.
Yeah.
It's gross, but
the bar keeps raising higher for like what's shocking every week.
Exactly.
Now it's I mean,
6 months ago, this would have been like the worst story ever.
I know.
In my head.
Now it's like,
and now?
Well, it's a corpse. It's a little different than a living. So, you know, gotta live a little leniency.
Yeah, like, you know, what are you going
to
do?
When you get the urge to fuck the dead, it's, you know, who hasn't thought of that once or twice? Like most people have never thought of that once or twice, ever.
Not once, no. I think, you know, the few times I've seen a dead human.
The urge is let's fuck it.
No, I want to stay as far away as possible. My heart is pounding through my chest when it's time for me to go up near the casket.
Yeah. Like,
no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, getting down and dirty with a corpse. I just, there's a lot going on there that just doesn't sound right. Doesn't feel right.
Just a little bit. A Utah man arrested for the murder of his ex-girlfriend after body was found in the desert. This is from Utah, Fox 13. A man was arrested Tuesday after police say he admitted to killing his ex-girlfriend and dumping her body in a remote area of Tulare County. On Friday, Tulare County Sheriff's Office received a report that someone had found a dead body in the 5 Mile Pass area, a popular location for off-roading. Deputies responded to confirm that the body was that of a young woman, but there was no identification. They processed the scene and collected evidence, some of which helped them arrest an alleged accomplice in the case. The sheriff's office had been contacted that same day by the Salt Lake City Police Department regarding the 23-year-old Brooklyn Tyree, who was reported missing recently. The two agencies worked together, and based on the security camera footage from Tyree's apartment building, which was in Salt Lake City earlier that week, they then matched the clothing that she was wearing to those of the body and concluded that it was, in fact, her. The footage from May 3rd then showed Tyree and her 7-month-old child getting into a vehicle with 28-year-old Brandon Zipperly. That's an interesting name. I also operate the Tilt-A-Whirl. Her ex-boyfriend and the father of the child. Police brought Zipperly, you can't say it without saying it, real fun, for an interview and secured search warrants for his apartment and the vehicle. According to the Tulare County Sheriff's Paul Wilmer, Zipperly admitted to shooting and killing Tyree. Court documents state that an autopsy concluded that Tyree was shot. He also admitted to pawning the gun he used and disposing of Tyree's personal belongings. When searching his apartment, police say they found a shoe that matched the footprint of the scene where Tyree's body was found. The shoe belonged to Zipperly's fiance, 28-year-old Elizabeth Ludwig, who was brought in for questioning. Ludwig admitted that she helped Zipperly to move Tyree's body to get rid of some of her personal property. Yeah, so when you're dating somebody named Zipperly, how can you say no? Police said both the men made these confessions after being informed of their Miranda rights. Police also wrote in a probable cause statement that both suspects' phones were in the 5 Mile Pass area on May 3rd. Zipperly was arrested for murder and obstruction of justice, and Ludwig was arrested for obstruction of justice, too. Tyree's baby boy is in the custody of Utah Division of Child and Family Services. On Monday, former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson sent a letter to SLCPD Chief Mike Brown and SLC Mayor Aaron Mendelhall, in which he called the department's response to Tyree's case an outrageous failure and refusal to investigate. He said he was doing so as a friend and personal advocate of the family, not as legal counsel. In the 10-page letter, Anderson accused officers of being rude, indifferent, and dismissive of Tyree's family and friends. Mendenhall sent the following statement to Fox 13 News in response. My heart goes out to Brooklyn's family and friends. I cannot imagine what they're going through right now. We will continue collaborating with the Tulare County Sheriff's Office investigation to pursue justice from Brooklyn. You got to imagine it's a real serious operation there in Tulare. Any accusations of misconduct leveled at our police department must be taken seriously, and I've directed that our independent police civilian review board will review these allegations immediately, including any associated body worn camera footage. The facts matter. The police department also issued a statement of the timeline of their investigation, simply stating, fuck off, we're the police. No, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. But in a more wordy version, the Salt Lake City Police Department takes all community complaints seriously. This is a tragic case, and our condolences go out to the family and friends of Brooklyn Tyree. To ensure our investigation of the missing persons case was professional, respectful, thorough, and in line with our community's expectations, we will comprehensively review the steps taken by our department. We will welcome and will fully cooperate with the Salt Lake City Police Civilian Review Board with any requests they have pursuant to the mayor's direction for this independent body to review these allegations. By the way, we lost all footage that pertains to this. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Accidentally misplaced everything. It's gone. The Salt Lake City Police Department is fully cooperating with the Tulare County Sheriff's Office on their suspicious death investigation. But again, we lost everything pertaining to the case. That's next, though. That'd be my prediction. My God. Yeah. And yeah, well, I guess, you know, you go out there and you help your friends, you know, that's what you do when you need a friend. Anytime you need a friend, I will be there. Even if it's your dead girlfriend. I'm thinking the Mariah Carey song. Anytime you need a friend, I will be here. Even if it's your dead girlfriend, I will be there. That was part of the lyrics in the original cut. The album cut actually has it in there still. They found it inappropriate for the radio. And they took that part out.
This is a very horrible, just all the way around story. And you know who's really affected the most?
The kid?
This poor fucking kid.
Well, luckily, exactly. I mean, the kid's not going to have a mom. The only thing you can say there is, luckily, it's a very, very young child that probably will have no recollection of any of this. And you just hope to God that it gets into the child gets into the hands of a loving family, that this is literally just a story that they hear later in life, but didn't, you know, experience the trauma of it had they been a little bit older.
Yeah, but it's the story's out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, they'll find it. Yeah, and they should. They should understand it. And there, of course, will be some amount of trauma, you know, having your mom disappear. Yes, of course, that is very traumatic. It would just be, you know, if it was like a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old even, I think it would make a bigger impact. That's the only good thing here. And it's not good, but it's like, that's, you know, there probably won't be much of a memory of it.
It's just awful.
Yeah. There you go. That's our world this week, everybody. Good times. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become a supporter. Go to our Patreon page. Go to darksidepod.com. And there you can get access to advanced episodes of the show, the full archive. It's all there and other bonus stuff. It's only $5 a month. Be sure to check that out. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. New episodes every single Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, as well as new episodes of True Crime Today, 7 days a week on the feed. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. Until next time, for Stacy and all of us at Dark Side Of, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.